Welcome to New Life Community Church of the Nazarene. It is truly a joy to have you here today. I am holding my phone as a reminder for you all to silence yours with the word of the Lord. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. You know that's going to happen someday. For the Lord has comforted His people and will have compassion on His afflicted. You know, that's us. He is there and He's there for us today. Let's go to the one who offers healing, the one who offers wholeness. Father God, oh, we thank You so much. Thank You so much for Your grace. Your unmerited favor, that Your face is turned toward us, that while we were still sinners, You became flesh and dwelt among us so that we might behold Your glory. But You became sin. You became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Oh, Father, thank You. Thank You for doing all that for us. Thank You for calling us to this place today. Lord, deliver us from shame and from fear, from a sense of inadequacy and worthlessness. Heal our broken hearts as we draw into Your presence. Enfold us, Lord, in Your grace and in Your love. Through the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as a church, we have this vision statement, this mission statement. It's who we are. It took us as a body about 2 years to really own this statement as we repeated it week after week, as we went through it, for it to begin to actually change our DNA and accomplish some really, really exciting things. So does anyone know that? Now, I forgot to bring my CDs out here, but I do still have two, and I'll owe you that CD. I don't have it in my hot little hand. But who would want to try and do that from memory? You'll do it? You're not allowed to volunteer someone else. All right. He has a microphone, so you can just turn him on. That'll be easier. Wait, I didn't just say. Anyway. Okay. Go ahead.
So, in Jesus Christ, we are an intentionally transformational community, meeting people where they are, accepting them as they are, taking them by the hand, and walking with them to where God wants us to be.
Woo-hoo! Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Now, you know, I have to keep talking about this and keep reminding you because I don't want to lose this character of who we are. I want us to remain this. And so today, the transformational thing, I just kind of wanted to talk about the transformational element and just remind you once again, when we say that we are a transformational community, we are not saying that we are God's gift to the world to change them. Okay? That's not what we're saying. What we are saying is that we acknowledge that we are not all that we ought to be, and we are in the process of being transformed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Could I get an amen on that? You know, and that we then, as we are being transformed and made more and more into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we have a transforming influence in our community. We begin to bring God's love, God's grace, God's healing, God's wholeness to our community. But it's not we have it, they don't. It's we're in process and we're we're walking alongside and helping them to receive that process, that love, that gift of God. That makes sense to you? You know, and I want to keep reiterating that because I'm studying shame right now and I'm thinking a lot about it and I've come to some conclusions about it and I'm, you know, still wrestling with a lot of it. I've invited you on this journey with me. Some of you have noticed that I haven't been perhaps as clear in my overall direction and concise in my teaching and preaching. And part of that for the last couple of weeks, and part of that is because God's working on me. It's a journey. It's not something that I haven't just got it all figured out and packaged and now I'm delivering it. You know? I wanted to do that. That was my goal. That's every pastor's goal. They don't like to stand up in front of you and look like they don't know what they're doing. It's not a pleasant place to be. But God said, get started. Don't wait. Get on the journey. I have too many of my brothers and sisters, too many of my children who need this. And I can't wait for you to get it. You need to grow into it. And I thank you for joining me in that journey. But one of the things that I have become absolutely 100% certified certain of, and I knew this beforehand, but it's just been reinforced, is we're not going to get there completely until we get to heaven. You know, we're not going to be completely free of shame until we get into heaven, into God's gracious presence. Having said that, I still believe that God desires that we be shame-free. I still believe that God desires that we move in that direction. And so one of the things that I want to help you with and talk to you about, we have said, I grew up in a church of a different background, and it's caused Tom to cringe quite often because he's more Nazarene than I am. But I have said oftentimes that, you know, we are sinners. At one level, that's true because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? Okay, but at another level, it's completely false. When we come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we should no longer have a self-identification of the character of being a sinner. Instead, we should self-identify with the character of being a saint, a holy one, because we have been touched by the Holy God. And He has made us new. He has transformed us already. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. No longer a sinner, but a holy one. Okay? That is a powerful mind change that we need to own, that will deliver us from the futility and destruction of always identifying as a sinner. Now, instead of being sinners who occasionally do good things, we are saints who occasionally sin. There's a transformation there. And we need to own that. You see, we need to get that. And we need to start living into that and understanding that, because that will dispel a lot of shame. It will begin to send it away. So, I got goosebumps. The Holy Spirit's here. I measure the Spirit's presence by goosebumps. No, I don't really, but that's a word that we need to understand and we need to hear. Because we are to take every thought captive and make it obedient to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Satan wants you to live into the fact that you're a sinner. But when you have come to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, remember it all starts with in Jesus Christ. You need to disown that and say, no, I am not a sinner anymore. God has touched me and I am one of His holy ones. I am a saint. Amen. I may not feel like it. I may not look like it. I may not act like it a lot of time, but God says it, so I believe it. I am a saint, a holy one of God. Can we? Yeah. Thanks for just getting on board with that. Praise God. Praise God. All right. It's at least somewhat quiet, so I'm going to begin. We've been talking about shame, and once again, I want you to hear that while shamelessness is bad, because shamelessness leads to all kinds of bad behaviors, what God made us to be is shame-free. Not shameless, but shame-free. To no longer operate in shame. Shame has one primary function, and that primary function that it serves is to turn us back to our Lord. Turn us back to the relationship that we have broken. Remember last week I talked about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and shame being man's ineffaceable, unerasable, can't be removed memory of our separation, alienation from the one who made us. That is the core of shame. The core of shame is man's memory that we were made for something more, that we were made for something higher and better, that we were made for a maker, and we have been separated from Him. Last week's sermon title is actually this week's sermon title. Instead of, I didn't get to it last week. It was about face. I said I was going to talk about guilt and shame. This week, I'm not actually going to be going there. God just has a wonderful sense of humor. And so we're going to continue. And I want to talk about this about face thing. And I want you to understand this. And this is going to be fairly quick. You know, in Genesis, we just had a marvelous depiction of the Genesis through song, this Genesis passage. And we know that in Genesis chapter 2, it ends with the fact that the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They were in the state of they presented themselves to one another in their nakedness with no shame. The reason for that is because they were not self-conscious in the sense of thinking about themselves as opposed to the other. They were still aware that they were different, okay? They were still knew that there was man and there was woman. But they were not self-conscious in the sense of self-conscious in opposition to other. They were self-conscious as a unity with other. They were in complete unity with God the Father. They were in complete unity with each other. And so even though they knew that they as an individual were different, they were not different in opposition. They were different in harmony and union. And that's what God made us for. And that's what we, the church, are about. It's about us becoming harmonious, whole, one. We talk about the shalom of God. It's about wellness. It's about wholeness in every area. It's about no division anymore among us. That doesn't mean that we all become just a mass with no discernment or discrimination among it. We're still individuals, but we're individuals that are with and for and one with each other instead of in opposition and division to each other. We're a family, but even better than a family. The family is the closest thing we have on planet Earth, and it's the reason why the marriage vows, which the husband and wife beginning the marriage and the unity that's supposed to be there. But no family since the fall of Adam and Eve has achieved this radical oneness because of the separation that happened when we fell in the garden. Because we have become aware of ourselves as in opposition to and division from another. That's what happened to us in the fall. And shame is our memory of that. Shame is the fact that we can't forget that separation, that division that has happened, that alienation from God, from self even, from others, and from His creation. You see, sin is all about separation. Sin is all about division. Therefore, sin brings death. Shame is a remnant. Shame is a side effect. Shame is a residual consequence. Sin is what kills and destroys. But you notice in this garden encounter, sin is not what is immediately talked about. What we see is shame. The results of sin. What we see is the shame. We see the embarrassment, the disgrace, the ridicule, the humiliation, the unworthiness, the contempt and condemnation, the inadequacy and the feelings of unacceptedness and unacceptableness, the feelings of being unloved and being unlovable. That's what we're seeing here. We see failure, and not just that I have failed, but that I am a failure. We begin to see that they're hiding and they're lying and they're blaming and they're withdrawing and they're in competition with each other, and it leads to attack of one another. We could go to Genesis chapter 4, which is kind of then as it plays out, you've got Cain and Abel, and you've got God who's in all this and through all of this. He's gracious and He's present, and His face is turned towards man, and He's calling man back to Himself. Powerful. Adam, where are you? I long for you. I desire you. The last verse is astounding. I love you. We've lost something, and we can't get away from that fact. And it's all about face. It's about that face-to-face relationship with the one true living God, where we were in harmony and unity with Him and with each other. And that's the picture that you have at the end of Genesis chapter 2. And then Satan comes in and he twists and he distorts. And I'm doing this all very quickly and very rapidly because I don't have any time. But I want you to just add just one final step to this. I just want you to get one more glimpse. For those of you who have been here, it's just a slight addition to what I've been talking about. For those of you who have been absent, go listen to the sermons online. They're available. And I would encourage you because there's so much more. But it's about face, and it's about this face-to-face relationship that we were made for. The Aaronic high priestly blessing, remember? Where he says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. Guess what? It's not because God's face is turned away. Whose face is turned away? Ours. We're the ones who turned away from Him. He has never turned away from us. And in one of the songs we sang this morning, where did God turn His face away? I already gave you the answer. When Jesus was on the cross, that's when God turned His face away. When Jesus became sin. When He who knew no sin became sin, that's when God the Father turned away, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, when I'm talking about an about face, and I'm saying it's about this, it's about two faces turned together, there's an about face that needs to take place. There's an about face. You know what an about face is, don't you? It's a military term. They march in one direction and the commander calls about face and they spin and they start going the other direction. That's an about face. In the Bible, it has a name. What's the name? Repentance. Thank you. The name for an about face in the Bible is repentance, and there is a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. There's a godly sorrow that that leads to the point where I realize I'm going this way and God is back there and His face is turned toward me. But in order for me to experience that, I have to turn and I have to start going to Him. I have to have an about face in my life so that I can be face to face with the one who has always been facing me, who always loves me. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's what we're talking about. And that about face needs to happen. It is called repentance, and there is a godly sorrow that draws us there. And what is that godly sorrow? It is the shame. It is the inalienable, inseparable sense that we are separated from our Maker. That there's something broken, that there's something missing, and that we need desperately what we have lost once and for all. And I just want you to know, the only thing you can do is turn. You can't rectify this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the shame is the unforgettable knowledge of our separation from the one for whom we were made. I'm paraphrasing. I'm putting it in curt language, which is hopefully your language. Okay? It's that unforgettable memory that we are separated from the one who made us, along with a powerless longing to return. Brothers and sisters, friends and foreigners, whomever is here and hearing these words, you cannot bridge the gap. You cannot heal the rift. You cannot change it. Only God can. And God did through the cross. Through the cross of Calvary, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. I don't...
Hallelujah.
It's not about us. It's about Him. And that's why when I said we should no longer in Christ Jesus identify as sinners, I'm taking the emphasis away from us and I'm putting it on Him. He is the one who has touched us, and because He has touched us, because He has bought us, because He has redeemed us, because He has reconciled us, we should no longer identify as sinners. We should identify as holy ones, as saints. Because we have had that about face. We have turned and we have seen His favor and His blessing upon us, and we are now at peace with the one who made us, and therefore we can be at peace with everyone. That is the whole message of God's Word. And the only thing we get to do is say yes or no. The only thing we get to do is say, okay, I realize I'm going this direction and I realize God's face is back there. And the only thing that we contribute to the whole thing is, you're right, I'm wrong. I don't deserve it, but thank you. Thank you. And live into it and move toward it. That's all that we get to do. God the Father has paid the price in full through His Son on the cross. By the way, it's God the Son on the cross. It's not child abuse. God became flesh and died in our place because God loves us. And that love is in Yeshua. Yahweh saves. And it's now ours for the taking. And all we have to do is turn around. And then we live into that. And see, shame is Satan's continual whispering into us that we are unlovable and that we are unworthy and we are valueless, and all of those things. He continues to whisper that lie to us to keep us from turning and receiving the gift that God has paid, the gift that God has given. Today, if you're here and you've never done an about face, you've never turned and said, and I do have to illustrate this just a little bit more. Repentance is not simply coming to the point where we realize we're going the wrong way and we stop going that direction. What do I need to do? I got to turn. I got to turn around. I have to do an about face and realize that, okay, now I'm going to start going this way. And guess what? You know, everyone who has proclaimed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who has accepted Him, everyone who has allowed His blood to wash them, they are now facing the living God and they are now heading that direction. They may be stumbling. They may be falling. They may not get there in a hurry. They may not be running. They may be, you know, like a crippled, lame person just barely struggling in that direction. But everyone who has called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ has done the about face. They have turned towards the living God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is wooing and drawing them and calling them in this direction. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that then delivers them so that they can begin to stand more upright. They can begin to walk more quickly. They can begin to run to the embrace of the loving Father who has already been loving them and running toward them. So where are you this morning? Are you believing the lies of Satan? Or have you done the about face? Have you turned towards the one true living God through Jesus Christ, His Son? Well, as we close today, I want to give you an opportunity. We don't do this all the time. I probably should do it far more often than I do. But I want to give you an opportunity to respond because I think response is important. And there are two things that I want you to respond to. One, if you've never done that about face and you realize today that you need to, I want you to make a public declaration of that because it's important that you let people know that you have made an about face, that you are no longer going to be going this direction, living for yourself and the lies of Satan, but you are now going to confess that you are a sinner headed the wrong direction and you want to turn to the face of the living God. Okay? That's important. And if you've never done that, I would invite you to come and do that this morning as we close with our closing song. I don't even know what the closing song is. I don't care what the closing song is. Okay?
If we've done it, but not publicly.
Yeah, if you've done it, but not publicly, come and do it. But here's the second thing I want you to come for. If you realize today that you have done an about face, you have turned in the right direction, but you're still living in shame. You're living in unresolved shame, believing the lies of Satan that he has whispered to you that you are unlovable and you are unworthy, that you are hopelessly lost and you will never amount to anything. In other words, that your character is always that of a sinner instead of that of a saint, that of a holy one. These altars are open for you this morning as well to come and kneel before God and say to God, I am no longer going to listen to the lies of Satan. I am going to live into what you have made me by the power of your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ on the cross. So those are the two things that I would call you up here for. One, an about face. Two, I'm no longer going to believe I'm a sinner. I'm going to believe I'm a saint. I'm a holy one of God, and I'm not going to let Satan hold that over me anymore. Those are the two reasons. Joshua, come, and I don't know what the last song is. It may not be. I have decided to follow Jesus. It probably isn't. That's okay. I don't care. But if you're ready, as we stand to sing these, come to this altar and pray and give this time to the Lord. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. He already has. and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you. You know, when we say the countenance, one of the songs said that God was frowning towards us. I'm not sure that He's ever frowned on us. I think He has wept tears over us. I think that His heart has been broken for us. But may He smile upon you with favor. May you sense the radiance of His smiling face upon you. May He lift His countenance upon you that way. And may you have peace, shalom, oneness, wholeness, unity with the one true living God and with those who are your family. God bless you.